And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside, not Joe Rex Road, Adam Vinken with us here this morning on the program. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. It's wonderful to have you here this morning. Michelle Knezovic with us as well. Michelle, good morning. How are we doing?
Guys, great. Happy Friday home stretch. And at 10 a.m., it is the weekend.
It is the weekend.
Michelle just completely like ignoring us as we all walked into the building at the same time.
She's still...
I was stressed a
little.
She's
still kind of worried about the Sierra conversation that we had yesterday and the relevance of Sierra.
I missed this conversation.
First thing she did was ask Adam if he knew who Sierra was.
I am familiar with Sierra.
Thank you. I needed to do a poll yesterday. I was asking friends, texting people, and I would say that most people are on our side of things. But maybe it's just Rex Rhodes friends and his
Yeah, because
circle.
Rex Rhodes friends are like 50.
There we go. Adam said it.
That's true.
Not me.
I mean, I'm up on my early aughts R&B and pop.
Early aughts.
Early aughts. Early 2000s.
No, I know what you meant. It's good.
Okay. Beth. Sierra.
Off to a brilliant start on the program this morning. We'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. David Beauclair from SI.com dropping by at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Eagles. Our man Teron Davenport at 8. Ryan Porth at 9 o'clock from 670 The Score in Chicago. And former program director here will join us at 9 o'clock for his thoughts on a variety of different things, including the expansion of the college football playoff, now officially to 12 teams as well. So looking forward to that. But we begin with the Nashville Predators. And a game last night that looked like they were on the path to yet another loss. They were down 3-2. They got up 2-0 in the game. Ryan Johansson scored 11 seconds into the game last night, which tied David Legwand as a franchise record for the quickest goal to begin a game in Predators history. You're up 2-0 after one. The Devils come storming back, and in 4 minutes and 35 seconds into the third period, or excuse me, into the second period, you went from being up 2-0 to down 3-2. And you're less than 10 seconds away from a regulation loss. And then Mikael Granlund scores to tie things up with 9.8 seconds left. And Ryan Johansson scores in overtime on a great play by Matt Duchene. And the Predators go from a regulation loss to grabbing 2 points against the New Jersey Devils, a Devils team that was 19-4-0 heading into that game. So the Predators get the win last night. Ryan Johansson, 2 goals and 1 assist. Colton Sisson scored last night. And Mikael Granlund scored last night as well. That's a big one last night, Adam. I mean, that's a huge difference in result in terms of about 10 seconds later, you're dealing with another regulation loss. At that point, if you lose that game, you would have dropped to 10-10-2 through 22 games, which is basically nothing more than a middling team. And I'm not saying that they're anything more than a middling team right now, but that's a big result to kind of change your way last night.
And not only, as you said, the Devils were 19-4 entering the game, they were 13-1 in November.
Yeah.
So they had only suffered one loss since November 1st, and they were 16-0 when leading after two periods. So it was the first time this season that the Devils have lost a game in which they led, after 40 minutes. So, you know, you saw firsthand just how good the Devils are in that, you know, 3 minute stretch early in the second period where they went from being down 2-0 to up 3-2. And the Devils are for real. This is not a fluky start to the season. This is very much a powerhouse team just in terms of everything you want, analytically, the way they play, you know, they're really, really good basically. So the Predators getting that victory last night, it certainly was big. As you said, you know, those 2 points can make a huge difference down the road, especially as the Predators, you know, are where we thought they would be probably after 20 plus games, you know, on the edge of the playoff bubble. I believe in the standings as of now, they're in the second wild card spot, which, you know, it's early December. That doesn't really matter. But considering where they were a few weeks ago,
yeah,
you know, they are 6-1-1. In their past 8 games, which is great from a standing standpoint. But as you said, when you look at this team as a whole, their entire body of work this season, you know, their record is indicative of their performance, and you could argue that their record is better than their performance indicates. Remember, you know, last season they had multiple players have career years on top of elite goaltending. This year, you know, they are one of the worst offensive teams in the NHL, and it's not bad luck. It isn't as if though they're scoring a lot less than they are expected to. They're basically in line. So this team, last night, notwithstanding, because they did score four goals, but this team has struggled to generate offense. And, you know, UC Saros has really come on strong over the past few weeks, which is, you know, basically how this team has remained relevant the last couple of years. So a good win last night for sure, but the likelihood of those wins come around incredibly rarely, especially against a team like New Jersey. So, you know, I think I did the quick math before the show. They have 11 wins. Eight of them, I believe, are against teams that are currently not in playoff position.
Yep.
And I know that doesn't matter. It's not the college football playoff where your resume matters. It's how many points do you have at the end of the season? But, you know, the Predators needed a win against a top-tier opponent, and they finally got one. Another one of the teams that they beat that in playoff position they played tonight, the New York Islanders. So another big test for them tonight.
Yeah, no question. And Saros, I thought, was really good last night, and he had to be. He made some big saves in the third period when the Devils were clinging to the 3-2 lead. They had probably three or four chances last night to expand on that, including, I mean, you take just an awful too many men on the ice penalty with about 3 minutes left in regulation, and you're down a goal. You're thinking to yourself, well, that's it there. You can't take a penalty in that spot. To their credit, they killed it off. Now, New Jersey changed up their power play a little bit. They usually go with four forwards and one D, and they went with two defensemen last night on that power play and just kind of stayed on the perimeter. And you understand it. Like, you got the one-goal lead. You don't want to give the Predators a chance to, you know, spring forward with a shorthanded attack there. But ultimately, the Predators able to get that goal from Mikael Granlund, and then Ryan Johansson scores two last night. I thought even beyond the goals for him, you know, I liked his line for the most part. You know, he and Niederreiter, that's obviously something that John Hines likes, having those two together, and they've kind of bounced that third forward off, whether it's been Matt Duchene or earlier in the season it was Kiefer Sherwood. I mean, they've gone up and down the list of guys that have played with Ryan Johansson and Nino Niederreiter at this point. But a couple of big goals by Johansson, and that's, you know, that goal-scoring touch from him. He showed it last year. It's not been as prevalent this year. Adam, another big thing that we just really didn't get to see a whole lot last night, and I think they had one power play in the whole game last night. But their power play, I mean, you know this, they were lights out last year on the power play, and that's how they got a lot of offensive success from some of those guys that you talked about in Duchene and Forsberg and Josi and Johansson. Power play has not been very good so far this year, and not much opportunity last night. They had one power play on the night.
Yeah, and I think Matt Duchene deserves a lot of credit too. I mean, the play that he made basically going 1-on-3
was unbelievable.
To set up the game-winning goal by Ryan Johansson was excellent. So as you said, you know, I think we certainly felt this way. Predators fans probably felt this way too, that the likelihood of Johansson and Duchene and Forsberg and Josi and Janot and whomever else having, you know, repeat seasons like they had last season, the likelihood of that happening was going to be low just because of, you know, they, you know, those were fantastic years, and they were out of character for some of them. I mean, look, like Tanner Janot, you know, had what, 24 goals last season? He has three in 22 games.
Yeah.
He has been rendered ineffective on offense. And, you know, Duchene has five goals so far this season, though he does have 13 assists. Forsberg has seven goals this season. You know, this team is, a quarter of the way through the season, they have yet to have a goal scorer reach double-digit goals. I'd be curious to see how many teams in the NHL how many teams don't have a player with double-digit goals. Even the Anaheim Ducks have a player with double-digit goals. Troy Terry scored his 10th of the season against the Predators earlier this week. So, you know, I think, you know, this team has a lot of work to do. The game yesterday was good. But if they lay an egg against the Islanders tonight, who are a good team as well, then, you know, who really cares about tonight's game.
Yeah, I mean, they,
or last night's game.
Well, they dug themselves in such a hole, you know, coming off the trip to Prague, and you start playing the way that they played basically in the continental United States and in North America after that. I mean, you dug yourself a hole. And like you said, they results-wise, they've played pretty well lately. They're 6-1-1 in their past eight, and that's a points percentage and a stretch that you'll take every time in an eight-game stretch. I don't think there's any question about it, but still to that point. I mean, technically, they're tied right now with Minnesota for that last wild card spot. They're on the outside looking in. I guess goal differential is the tiebreaker. We're way too early to start getting into tiebreakers here, but the point is, like, you know, Minnesota, Calgary, St. Louis, the Predators, Edmonton, you know, everybody's kind of right in that mix together. And Dallas and Winnipeg keep winning in the Central Division, so there's that to contend with. I mean, we're still a long way to go in the regular season, so I'm not saying that the Predators need to be standings watching or anything like that at this point, but with the hole that you dug yourself at the beginning of the season, I mean, I think we know that it's probably going to come down to the wire for the Predators as to whether or not they make the playoffs, which has been the story with this team over the course of the past few years, and we'll get a little bit more into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Adam Ben getting in with us for Joe today. We'll get Adam's thoughts on the Preds and the outlook for the rest of this season coming up next. Take your thoughts as well at 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Again, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning. It's not my birthday, but it is Aaron Rodgers' birthday. Happy 39th birthday to Aaron Rodgers.
Adam Vingan was so confused.
He's like, what in the world is
going on?
Well,
allegedly he has a home in Williamson County, so he may have heard. He may have heard this.
Oh, he definitely listens.
He may have heard this.
Friend of the show, maybe. Happy birthday.
What version of happy birthday was that?
I have no idea.
Who I don't know. The first one on YouTube?
No, I didn't care for it.
Sorry.
Happy birthday to Aaron Rodgers. See how things go this weekend in the highly anticipated showdown between the Packers and the Bears, both of which are 4-8. So that'll be fun.
Woo! Gonna be a
Wait
big
a minute.
One.
Are the Bears even 4-8? They could be 3-9. I don't even know.
They lost to Mike White last week.
Yeah, they did. So we'll see. See how that goes coming up this weekend. I'm sure people are very excited. Adam Vingan here with us this morning on the program, talking Predators, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, Adam, tell people what you're doing right now.
What am I
Not
doing?
Not on the show, but as your job.
Oh. I'm sitting here right now. My job right now is being on the radio from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But generally, I'm working with Sportsnet.ca in Canada, writing data-driven stories with help from my friends at SportLogic. So that's been fun. I'm also working as a freelance researcher for NHL Network. So keeping busy. It's been this is a tough business. I'm sure some people may have noticed yesterday a lot of layoffs in the journalism world. So it is hard to, job security, it can be tenuous, but I'm doing all right. Everything's good.
Absolutely. So on that front, you guys, as we sit here today, we're getting a lot of texts on the text line about the Predators, some frustration with the way that they played so far this year. You get the big win last night when it looked like defeat was right in front of you. The Predators come back and win, and we mentioned it in the last segment. They're right around kind of that playoff fringe right now. They dug themselves in a hole with their start to the season, and you know they've started to dig their way out of it a little bit over the course of the past couple of weeks. But Adam, as you look at this team, the way that they performed so far this year, you know, the regression that we kind of laid out there in the last segment, how do you view the rest of the season? I guess your outlook for this Predators team based on what we know about this group thus far.
Yeah, I think you said it best in the previous segment that, you know, they have little margin for error. I mean, I know there are 60 games, 50-something games left in the season, but when you play as poorly as they did from a standings perspective at the beginning of the season and you're playing catch-up, I mean, they are 6-1-1 in their past 8 games, and it got them back to, like, 8th place, basically.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that shows you how bad they were once they got back from Prague. And it's really going to be like this, I think, for the rest of the season, unless they have a big winning streak, which the Predators have shown an ability to do in recent seasons. They can go on a tear, you know. But I look at this team, I look at a lot of their underlying numbers, the fancy stats, as I like to call them, and there's not a whole lot to be encouraged about. I think you said it last week, Robbie. You may have said it multiple times, but there really isn't anything this team does like incredibly well. You know, UC Saros had a tough start to the year, which is sort of on brand for him, but he's been really good lately. So goaltending is good. You know, their penalty kill, I think, is pretty good. Yep. Mostly. So like there's that, but you know, they don't score. They're not great defensively. From a like a, you know, preventing teams from getting into, you know, high danger scoring areas, not goaltending, that's separate. Power play stinks. You know, a lot of the players that they count on have had slow starts to the season in the goal scoring department. I mean, Roman Josi is starting to play well.
Yep.
And Matt Duchene has played well, though he hasn't scored in a few games. You know, Ryan Johansson had a big game last night, but had been largely quiet throughout the season. You know, Philip Forsberg, you know, quietly had a good, you know, like a good season points wise, but he hasn't really stood out to me that much this year when
I
watched them.
Yeah.
So I see a team that's basically the team that we've been watching for the past couple of years. I mean, they're average at best right now, and we talk about this a lot last year. Like this team that had this many players with a career years and a power play that was in the top 10 in the league and an elite goaltender, barely made the playoffs and then got annihilated in the first round. And this year, their power play isn't performing well. They're not scoring, and their goalie is playing elite again. But they're back to where they are. I mean, you know, I made the argument late last season, or may have been early in the offseason, where I maintain that the Predators are not going to get better until they allow themselves to get worse. But, you know, the front office is not about to do a rebuild, probably against their better judgment. And we'll see what happens here. If this team squeaks into the playoffs again, I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but if this team squeaks into the playoffs again and loses in the first round, you know, you know, this fan base is disillusioned. That's the word I've used to describe this fan base. They're tired of the same old. This team is stuck in neutral, has been for a few years. They want to see progress.
Right.
And before the season started, I was on with Jared, and I said that at a bare minimum, for this team to prove to me that they are on the right track, they have to win a first round series and have to play a second round series incredibly tough.
Yeah.
Like they don't have to win in the second round, but they can't get swept in the second round. So right now, if I had to extrapolate, I would say this team is not going to do that. But again, it's only December 2nd. But this team is, as I said earlier, what their record is, or you could argue better than their record is better than their play has indicated.
Well, that's the thing that is most concerning to me at this point is we're 22 games in, which albeit it's not the biggest sample size in the world, but it's also not really a small sample size anymore either. I mean, you're a quarter of the way into the season at this point, and they're at 2.59 goals per game. Like you said, they got to 4 last night, which is great. I mean, they looked like they were going to be stuck at 2 again for the whole game, and then you scored, you know, 2 more in basically the last 45 seconds of the game, and you win last night. So that's great. But you're at 2.59 for goals per game in the season, which is 29th in the league. I mean, if you're 29th in the league in goals per game, you're not really going to give yourself a fighting chance as you move forward here. I mean, the offense has got to improve. And obviously, you know, getting better on the power play would help that. There's a lot of things that go into that. But right now, only the Blackhawks, the Ducks, and the Flyers are worse in terms of goals per game so far than the Predators have been. So that to me is the most concerning thing, because I agree with you. you watch them play, and there have been, I mean, you know this, there have been several times that we've watched the Predators play over the past, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years where they've gone through stretches where the goals haven't gone in. And in some cases, it's been deserved. In other cases, you've watched them and you've said, all right, well, they're playing well. They're controlling things offensively. They're getting some quality chances, all these different things. And it's just not really going in for them. And for the most part this year, I don't really feel like that's been the case. Like, I think they've basically been what they deserve to be offensively. And that, to me, is probably more concerning than anything else. And, I'm talking just 5-on-5 here because when you start getting into the power play, mm-hmm. it's a little bit different to kind of read those things. But 5-on-5, I think they've basically gotten mostly what they deserve so far this year offensively. And that's the most concerning part to me.
So the Predators, as we have mentioned, scored 4 goals last night. It was the 6th time this season they've scored at least 4 goals. Only 2 teams in the NHL have scored 4 goals in a game fewer times. The Philadelphia Flyers at 5 and the Arizona Coyotes at 4.
Right.
Not company you want to keep. So there are 2 other teams tied with the Predators at 6 games of 4+ goals. The New York Rangers, who are not having a great season, and the Detroit Red Wings, who are actually having a pretty solid season relative to recent seasons. By comparison, the Dallas Stars have scored at least 4 goals 16 times
yeah.
this season. So
that's why they're in first place.
That's why they're in first place. But yeah, you know, that, you know, when you look at last year, if you dig into the numbers last year and you look at the Predators' goals, the actual goals they scored, and compare it to the expected goals they were supposed to score, which is based off of the shot quality that they've gotten. There was a noticeable discrepancy between their actual goals and their expected goals, which means they were overperforming
yeah.
offensively. This year, they're near the bottom of the league in goals, and their expected goals are not much better, which, as you said, suggests that they are getting what they deserve offensively. This is not a team that's creating grade A chance after grade A chance and not scoring and being goal lead or hitting the post or whatever. This is a team that's not doing enough to create. You know, the Predators have scored 37 5-on-5 goals this season in 22 games. That's tied with Minnesota for 28th in the league. The teams below them, surprisingly, the Colorado Avalanche, but they have the best power play in the league, so it offsets. Chicago and Arizona, again, not company you want to keep. So if this team does not find a way to get better offensively, remember, this team averaged more than 3 goals a game last
yeah.
year. If this team doesn't find a way offensively, you know, there's only so much that we've seen this, but there's only so much UC Saros can do to keep this team, you know, in the thick of things. So, you know, the players who are responsible for that offense need to find goals. Ryan Johansson helped that last night. Matt Duchene hasn't scored in a few games. You know, when was the last time Philip Forsberg scored a goal?
2-3 games ago.
Okay. So, I mean, it happens. Goal scorers go through little droughts, but, you know, the offense has been, to use a fancy word, anemic this season.
Nice. Tyler on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, clearly, Todd Downing is some kind of advisor for the Preds' offense, which is why they're at the bottom of the league on offense.
Todd Downing.
Can't even escape it in the Preds discussion. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the college football playoff discussion and the future of the college football playoff made official yesterday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
Does this song go out to whoever watches Michelle in the parking lot?
Hope not.
Oh, I was like, what song is this? I got it. Every step you take.
Yes.
Yep.
Sorry for interrupting.
It's a little weird over here on Murfreesboro Road sometimes. It's okay.
Yep.
Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Well, I'll call your shot Friday coming up at 6:45. We'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, 615-737-1025. David Beauclair from SI.com coming up to begin the 7 o'clock hour. So the college football playoff discussion will be an interesting one this week, which, by the way, we'll get to the expansion of the college football playoff a little bit later in the show. They are officially expanding to 12 teams in 2024. So that had been speculated for a while, and then the Rose Bowl basically cleared the path a couple of days ago for that to be made official. So the college football playoff officially expanding to 12 teams, starting with the 2024-25 season. So looking forward to that discussion coming up a little bit later. As far as this college football playoff is concerned, some games on conference championship weekend that are pretty interesting. I would not include the SEC championship and the Big Ten championship in that discussion, just from the standpoint of I think Georgia and Michigan are both in, regardless of what happens in that game. So as far as the college football playoff implications are concerned, I don't think a whole lot of intrigue there in the SEC and the Big Ten this weekend. And then you get to the Big 12, where TCU takes on Kansas State, and then, of course, in the Pac-12 on Friday night, where USC takes on Utah. And by Friday night, I mean tonight. So that'll be an important game to watch coming up later this evening. If USC loses, that's when some of the chaos starts to creep in, and we can talk about, you know, is Ohio State in there? Some people think Alabama would leapfrog Ohio State. I'm not one of them. What I'm really interested to see, and I don't think it'll happen, but if it does and TCU loses to Kansas State, I'm really interested to see how the committee would view that, because I think TCU has done enough at this point at 12-0 with some of the wins that they've had, where I think they should be in either way. I think they should be in if they win, obviously, but even if they lose this game in the rematch against Kansas State, unless they lose by like 45 points, I think they should be in. So I'm interested to see if the committee views it the same way. All in all, though, Adam, not a very intriguing conference championship weekend. I mean, when the two biggest conferences in the SEC and the Big Ten have a conference championship game that outside of the two fan bases means pretty much nothing, not a great start to conference championship weekend.
You mean you're not excited to watch Michigan play Purdue? That's what you're telling me?
Not only am I not excited to watch it, I don't think I will watch it.
Oh, okay.
Just don't care.
What about the ACC championship? Clemson and Carolina.
Yeah, I'm excited from that, from this standpoint. Like, I think it'll actually be a really good game. Mm-hmm. So that part of it I like. Like, you know, I don't think Michigan-Purdue is going to be an overly good game. I don't think Georgia-LSU is going to be an overly good game. I think Clemson-Carolina could be. And you've got Drake May, quarterback, on the other side. And you've got, you know, obviously Clemson coming off the loss to South Carolina. I'm pulling for Clemson in that game because I've got Tennessee-Clemson in the Orange Bowl in my head now, and anything other than that is going to be disappointing to me.
Clemson and Tennessee in the Orange Bowl.
That's
a lot of orange.
A lot of orange.
I guess some purple, too, right?
A lot of orange.
Because Clemson. Maybe Clemson can wear their purple uniform, so it's not
maybe
all orange. But, yeah, I mean, there is, you know, there will be some intrigue, of course, for the final college football playoff standings.
Oh,
but
yeah.
In terms of conference championship weekend, as you said, you know, not the most exciting slate of games.
This is the worst one I can remember in a while in terms of championship weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at a list on ESPN. The American Athletic Conference Championship, number 18 Tulane and number 22 UCF.
Get excited.
Get excited. Go Green Wave. But anyway, yeah, you know, maybe everyone needs a little break, you know, before the real games start, you know.
Well, to that point, like, you know, if USC wins tonight, they're going to be in the college football playoff. Like, if USC wins tonight, I kind of think the field's set. Like, I do. Like I said, I don't know if the committee views it the same way that I do with TCU, but I think they've done enough to be in. So, to me, like, if USC wins tonight, then my intrigue for tomorrow is, like, almost totally gone because Michigan's going to be in, Georgia's going to be in, and I think TCU's going to be in, too. And by the way, like, everybody keeps waiting on TCU to lose, and they're 12-0. Like, I think they're going to win in the Big 12 title game, too. And then you'll have three undefeated teams and a 12-1 USC in there. And then the chaos situation of, you know, Ohio State, would they get in? Alabama, would they get in? You know, the argument that Tennessee fans have had all week, that how in the world is Alabama ranked ahead of Tennessee when Tennessee beat Alabama head-to-head? I mean, all those chaotic situations, I think, have a chance to go by the wayside. Like, my early called shot, and I know we're getting to Call Your Shot Friday here in a few minutes. Like, I think the college football playoff rankings come next week are going to be exactly what they are right now. I think Georgia will be number one, Michigan will be two, TCU will be three, And I think USC wins tonight, and I think they'll be number four. And I think the dramatic situation that we've kind of talked about this week as to what happens if USC loses, is it as simple as Ohio State's in there, or could Alabama jump them? I don't think we're ever going to get a chance to find out, because I think USC is going to win tonight, and Caleb Williams is going to wrap up the Heisman Trophy, and they'll be the number four seed.
Well, you mentioned TCU and waiting for them to lose. You know, this was an interesting stat that popped up via ESPN. They won seven consecutive games by 10 points or fewer, which was tied for the longest such streak in the AP poll era, which goes back to 1936. So, you know, they play tight games, so it's possible that they could lose
for sure
to Kansas State, and they've played Kansas State already this season. Obviously, TCU won. Another stat from ESPN of the previous. So this is the 11th time that the Big 12 title game is a rematch of a regular season game. The winner of the first game has won six of the previous 10. So there's a little bit of light there for Kansas State to throw a wrench into this.
They've had a good year. I think with some of the wins that TCU has, I think they've done enough to be in there. Like, honestly, I watched them play, and I watched them play a couple of weeks ago really closely just to kind of see what they've got. And look, they're good. They've got a decent defense. You know, Duggan, I think, is a good quarterback, and you know, Sonny Dykes has done a great job so far this year. So there's a lot that goes into it. But I'm still not convinced of exactly how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the exact same thing about USC. Like, I think USC's got a really good offense. Obviously, they've got a great quarterback. They've got great players at the skill positions. And Lincoln Riley, I think, has proven at this point that wherever he goes, be that at Oklahoma or be that at USC, offensively, they're going to be good. I still don't trust their defense. And quite frankly, I don't know how good the Pac-12 is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't know how good the Pac-12 is. Like, I think Michigan's really good. And I think Georgia's really good. Those are the two teams that I really feel good about heading into college football playoffs.
Well, TCU has wins over, let's see, I count five ranked opponents. They beat Oklahoma, Kansas, Oklahoma State in double overtime, Kansas State 38-28 earlier this year.
And they got a chance for another one tonight.
Yeah, and then Texas 17-10. They beat Baylor by 1 point a few weeks ago. They're not a ranked team, but that was a close game. So, yeah, they've got, you know, they have already five top 25 wins on their resume and could have six after this. So that would be 6 of 13 games. That's pretty darn good, if you ask me. It doesn't look fluky to me.
No, like, I think they're a good team. And how good are they? I don't know. Like, if it's TCU, Michigan in the first round of the college football playoff, are they going to be able to hang in there with Michigan? I have no idea. But I think that's what we're going to see. I think it's going to be Georgia 1, Michigan 2, TCU 3. And I think USC takes care of business tonight on the neutral site against Utah. And they win tonight as well. So I think we're not going to see a whole lot of drama this weekend. But I kind of hope I'm wrong. It's college football. We all love the chaos. I mean, Lance just texted in, what happens if both USC and TCU just get blown out by 20? I mean, USC's out at that point. I still think there's an argument for TCU to be in. I'd probably still make that argument. But if that happens, then Ohio State's probably in the college football playoff at that point. So we'll see. All of it starts tonight in the Pac-12 championship game as Utah takes on USC. And we're going to find out a whole lot of the answers to that question when that game concludes. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Once again, 615-737-1025. Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you got to do is sign up with promo code ROB. Lots of interesting games in the National Football League coming up this weekend. But why not go with the Packers and the Bears? We talked about it a little bit earlier. Packers going to win this game on the money line. I mean, Aaron Rodgers over on touchdowns, too. He's dealing with the rib injury and the thumb injury, but it's the Bears. He always beats them. He will again coming up this weekend. However you do it, just make sure you do it on FanDuel Sportsbook, all in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Sign up today with promo code ROB for your no-sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You can make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Predators playing tonight, so Call Your Shot Friday normally at 8:45. We'll have Preds Pick to Click coming up at 8:45 a little bit later in the program today. We need your bold predictions, your called shots on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So Joe wasn't here last Friday. Michelle wasn't here last Friday. But I can just tell you my called shots were atrocious last week. I said Mike Wright would break a 40-yard run. Didn't happen. I said Jalen Hyatt would have 3 touchdowns. Didn't happen. I said Joe Milton would throw a 70-plus yard touchdown. Didn't happen. Derrick Henry, 3 touchdowns. He didn't score 1. I said C.J. Stroud would throw for 4 touchdowns. That didn't happen. Packers would beat Philadelphia. That didn't happen. And I also said Treylon Burks, 5 catches for 59 yards, and that didn't happen. So, nice offer for me last week, Michelle.
I will say, though, Junie Riddle said that the Jags would beat the Ravens.
He did.
And he wanted me to make sure that I gave him his credit. So, there you go, Junie. He's probably not awake yet. But, Jags beat Ravens.
Absolute choke job by the Ravens last week.
Yes, it was.
The 4th time they've done that this year. It's kind of amazing. Michelle Knezovic, would you like to kick us off this week with your called shots?
Yes, I would love to. I have them all written down right now. Okay, so branching off the conversation we just had about the college football playoffs, I love the chaos. So my called shot is that TCU and USC both get blown out.
Wow.
So we'll say like by more than 20 points.
Okay.
And somehow Bama and Ohio State get in.
Good Lord.
That would be chaotic. I love it.
You can talk about some mad Tennessee fans on Monday.
Oh, I know. I know. A.J. Brown has 0 touchdowns and under 40 receiving yards on Sunday.
Oh, boy. Maybe some tweets after that.
Oh, there will be. Treylon Burks has 1 touchdown and over 150 receiving yards.
Okay.
Bud Dupree and Jeffrey Simmons combined for 3 sacks.
Okay.
And last but certainly not least, Robbie Stanley, the Bears beat the Packers Soldier Field. Called shots.
That does qualify as a called shot.
Oh, it does.
Because it's supposed to be a bold prediction that never happens.
We'll see.
That would qualify.
Well, and a quick note on that. Whichever team wins will now hold the record for the most wins in the history of the NFL. So they're tied right now.
Yeah.
I think it's at 786.
That's what happens when you're around for a long time. But it does. It's a big game coming up on Sunday between a 4-8 team, 3-9 team. Adam Vingan, do you have any called shots?
Yeah, I'll keep it short and sweet. I've got 2. And because Michelle said one thing, I'm going to take the opposite track.
I like it. I do that a lot.
So, A.J. Brown, these are his past 4 games.
Correct.
4 receptions, 59 yards and a touchdown. 1 reception, 7 yards, no touchdowns. 5 receptions, 60 yards, no touchdowns. 4 receptions, 46 yards, 1 touchdown. I will say that A.J. Brown has at least 6 receptions. He will have at least 85 yards and at least 1 touchdown.
I can definitely see that, for sure.
So he'll have a big game because, of course, he will. So at least 6 receptions, at least 85 yards, and at least 1 touchdown. From A.J. Brown. And I will say that I think this is the national game. It may not be, but it should be. The Cincinnati Bengals hosting the Kansas City Chiefs at 3:25 our time on Sunday. We saw the Bengals here last week. They're on a roll. I think they're getting Ja'Marr Chase back for this game.
I believe so.
Yes.
The Bengals beat the Chiefs to assert their dominance. They would be 1 game back of the Chiefs in the AFC.
Yep.
But they would be 8-4 if they win behind the 9-3 Chiefs. The Bengals, the line is Kansas City -2, over under 53. I'm going to say the Bengals beat the Chiefs by at least a touchdown.
Oh, I like that. Beating the Chiefs by at least a touchdown coming up on Sunday. I like that a lot. All right, my called shots. Jalen Hyatt will win the Biletnikoff Award. We talked about it earlier this week. He is a finalist. And look, I think there's a chance that Marvin Harrison Jr. could win it from Ohio State. He's really good. And if he was draft eligible this year, I mean, he'd probably be the first receiver taken. But I think that with the numbers that Hyatt has put up, and particularly the numbers that Hyatt has put up against quality competition, and when you score 5 touchdowns against Alabama, that's going to turn a lot of heads. So I think Jalin Hyatt will win the Biletnikoff Award for the best receiver in college football this year. We'll see what happens on that a little bit later. I think sometime next week, maybe, when we find out about that. So we'll see what happens on that front. On the Titans-Eagles front, I've got A.J. Brown scoring a touchdown on the first drive of the game against the Titans.
Whew.
The first drive of the game for the Eagles, A.J. Brown will score a touchdown. I do, you know, I don't buy into the nonsense Jared was throwing out there yesterday about, like, the Titans game plan just solely revolving around slowing down A.J. Brown. I do buy into what he said, like, from the Eagles standpoint. I think they want to get him involved, not only because it's the Titans and he wants to play well against the Titans, obviously, but also, like, he hasn't really done a whole lot the last 3-4 weeks, as Adam just mentioned with the numbers that he read off, and I think they want to find a way to get him going in this game. So I think A.J. Brown scores a touchdown on the first drive against the Titans. I also think Treylon Burks will score a touchdown in this game. So Treylon Burks will get his first receiving touchdown in this game. He did have a fumble recovery. For
now,
touchdown
do you
week.
Want to go even further and say how many yards will the touchdown be for A.J. Brown?
For A.J.?
Yes.
I'll go 12. I think it'll be in the red zone.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to get like a 65-yarder or anything. I think they'll move the ball down the field and he'll finish it off on the first drive for the Eagles.
Fair enough.
So I'll go 12 yards for A.J. Brown on the touchdown.
Or you could just make it even broader and say he will score a red zone touchdown.
Well, could do that too.
But you want to be bold, so you say 12 yards.
I'm trying to be specific. Yeah.
Yes.
Christian Watson will have 3 touchdowns. Count them. 3 against the Chicago Bears coming up on Sunday. Yeah,
Christian Watson.
That defense.
That defense hadn't stopped anybody all year.
No. Nope.
They're not going to stop Christian Watson. So.
Screwing up my fantasy team because I have Alan Lazard.
Oh, boy.
Taking those reps from Alan Lazard.
He is. Christian Watson with 3 touchdowns against Chicago. And my final call shot, Ryan McDonagh will score tonight against the New York Islanders. His first goal as a member of the Nashville Predators, Ryan McDonagh tonight. He put one off the crossbar a couple games ago against Anaheim. I think McDonagh scores tonight. I don't know why I feel that way, and I don't know why that's my call shot, but it is.
Fair enough. No World Cup predictions for you? No knockout?
Well, we got some of those on the text line.
So okay, let's hear them.
I'm going to get to those on the text line. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bryant from Memphis on the text line says, Yusuf Parsonen with at least 2 points tonight against the New York Islanders. By the way, I think he's pretty good. I think Parsons is going to be a good one for the Predators. Chuck on the text line says, I'm calling my shot. USA over the Netherlands, 2-0.
Mm.
Or I guess I should say 2-0. My apologies.
Yes.
2-0.
2-0.
That'd be look, first off, it'd be a high-scoring game for the USA based on the way things have gone so far.
I'm betting a draw again.
But 2-0 would be the way to go there. David in Arkansas says, since my 300-plus-yard, 3-touchdown day for Tannehill didn't go to plan last week, my called shot, and Michelle kind of stole mine, but I was going to say, Burks outperforms A.J. I will say A.J. will have a fumble once again for the 3rd game in a row. So David in Arkansas calling for another A.J. Brown fumble and Treylon Burks outperforming A.J. Brown in this game.
Now, that'd be a storyline.
Well, be a lot of what we'd be talking about on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Mike from Gallatin on the text line says, Jamar Chase scores a hat trick in his first game back as the Bengals embarrass the Chiefs. So 3 touchdowns for Jamar Chase.
So it sounds like he thinks it's going to be more than the touchdown. I said at least a touchdown, right?
He said three.
The Bengals going to just go in there and destroy the Chiefs.
I mean, look, if any team could do it, I mean, a full strength Bengals offense could. Is Joe Mixon playing on Sunday?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Though Samaje Perine had pretty good game here the other day. So
JD on the text line says, AJ is definitely going to torch the Titans for a long touchdown on Sunday, LOL. So JD not buying my red zone touchdown. Says it's going to be a long one.
An explosive play.
Explosive play.
Coming for AJ Brown.
We'll see what happens on that front. We'll continue to take your call shots all show long. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by David Beauclair from SI.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Eagles. And, of course, the A.J. Brown storyline as well. That's coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do, Robbie. And Superbook wants to know if you can make your parlays pop this holiday season. We are taking a look at a lot of the NFL games right now. Listen, I'm going to give you a couple games because you can win some money from Vegas with the weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports. If you place a three-team football parlay, Superbook will give you a $10 bonus voucher. Okay, so listen, we've got the Pittsburgh Steelers are favored by 1 point over the Atlanta Falcons. Love that. So give me the Steelers -1. Kenny Pickett really looks like he's feeling comfortable in that offense. We've also got the Tennessee Titans. This line has moved quite a bit since the start of the week. So give me the Tennessee Titans +4.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles. I also think that the Tennessee Titans are going to win outright in this game. And lastly, let's round it out. You got the Washington Commanders with Taylor Heinicke and the New York Giants. Commanders are favored by 2.5, but it's at New York. So listen, give me the Giants +2.5. And listen, it's your holiday season, so you want to get a little extra money. So Superbook is going to give you the bonus courtesy of Superbook Sports. So rack up the wins, earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Download the Superbook Tennessee app and place your parlays today. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.